This is the Max Kellerman Show. Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio.
What's up, nerds? It's the Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN News. Let me see what other ESPNs, because Rod doesn't have the stuff in front of me. I'll just make it up off the top of my head. Let's see. The ESPN app, I want to tell you, it's on your smart speaker, right? Isn't that right, Raj? Smart speaker?
Okay, what is the problem with you and Zoom? It's right there. Everyone can see it.
No, it's not. Now, there you go.
It was there the whole time.
You know, I'm going to put you on blast. I'm going to, like, I'm going to take pictures of the screen and show it to everybody.
Jake saw it. Jake said he could see it just
Sirius
fine.
XM Channel 80. You can reach me at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. You have to understand, I'm like Anchorman, Will Ferrell in Anchorman. Remember what he said about San Diego because they put it in prompter? Anything, I'm like a prompter monkey. Anything you put in prompter, I'm just going to read. I don't even know what I'm reading. By the way, this is the thing about hosting. If you really look at a great host, like I've worked with some great hosts, and I mean just technically their ability to host shows like Brian Kenny or Jim Lampley, you know, in boxing. I've worked with Bob Costas. The host is the... There's no one part of the job that's difficult. It's all very easy. Each individual part's easy. Listening is easy. Talking is easy. Answering, you know, asking questions, answering questions, setting up what you see, reading stuff. Each one of those, you know, parts of the job are easy. The orchestration of all those together seamlessly is impossibly hard. So, like, Lampley and Brian Kenny, Bob Costas, those guys who can... It's they're like just seamless. It's different parts of your brain having to turn on and off, right? Listening, talking, thinking, asking, reading, all of that just go at thinking about what's about to happen, staying in the moment and responding. That's the hard part. I'm not good at that part, the important part. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. But first, it's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Here it is. I want to talk about these finals and the history of the NBA. The Lakers will win the finals. Lakers are going to win. The reason, I'd say they're at least a 3-1 favorite. They should be. The reason is they have two top five players, and one of them is the best player in the world. In the history of basketball, when has the best player in the world ever been accompanied by another top five player and they've lost? You could argue Wilt Chamberlain and Jerry West. They lost to the Knicks in 72-73. Elgin Baylor had retired halfway through that season. Wilt Chamberlain and Jerry West, two top five players, MVP caliber players, lost to a very plucky Knicks team, right? Who played the game the right way and all that. But they also, while the Knicks didn't have any MVP level player, Willis Reed was, you know, hobbled. Clyde Frazier, under pressure, was an MVP caliber player. Won finals MVP. But that Knicks team really was an anomaly. Normally, teams like that have not won championships in the NBA. The team that the Lakers had in 72-73 usually do. So there's one exception. 1972-1973, you got to go back. Give me examples. That's the pre-modern NBA. That's before the absorption of the ABA teams. That's before the three-point shot. Give me an example in the modern NBA of a team who has the best player in the world and another top five player losing a playoff series. You could argue the Lakers in 04. Kobe and Shaq. I actually picked the Pistons. I was working on Fox Sports at the time, doing a show called IMAX. The eponymous IMAX. Eponymous, Raj. There's a word for you. And at the time, I thought the Pistons were going to sweep the Lakers. I thought the Pistons were one of the great defensive teams of all time in any sport. I think about like the 83 Cardinals with Keith Hernandez and Ozzie Smith in the same infield. I think about the Tampa Bay Bucks who beat the Raiders. And what was that? 0-2 or something like that? I think about the 85 Bears. I think about... you know, those are the all-time great defensive teams in history. The 04 Pistons, maybe at the top of the list. And they were playing a Kobe-Shaq team where, remember Shaq delayed having surgery on his, what was it, his toe? And Kobe was mad about it, because if you watch Shaq in those playoffs, his lateral movement was non-existent. He could jump up and down. Now, he was still a monster, but he wasn't really Shaq that playoffs. And you could see it leading up to it. So I thought the Pistons would win, and they did. Gentleman sweep, not a sweep. Kobe got him one. The Mavericks, when they beat the Heat. What was that, 2010? LeBron and Wade and Bosh. But the thing was, Dirk was playing at MVP levels. That doesn't really count. They didn't have two MVPs like most championship teams will have, like two guys, when you, especially in the playoffs, that looks like an MVP. They had one in Dirk Nowitzki. So, like, we're talking about anomalies. The 72-73 Knicks, the 04 Pistons, and maybe the Mavs, although I think because of Dirk's presence, you can't even really count the Mavs. Otherwise, the team with the best player in the world and another top five player always win. Six times, Jordan and Pippen. Best player in the world, top five player. Three times, Kobe and Shaq. Duncan won five, right? But as there was, oh, that's another anomaly. The Spurs, the last championship, when Duncan was no longer a top five player. They didn't really have a top five player. So there's another anomaly. So what is it? One Knicks team, one Pistons team, one Spurs team, three times? And I'm going back 40 years? Maybe I'm missing one or two. Kareem and Magic, Bird and McHale. I just named you, and then later on, Magic and Worthy. I just named you. Five for Magic, three for Bird is eight, four for Duncan and Robinson, or Duncan and others. We're up to 12. Six for the Bulls, Jordan and Pippen. We're up to 18. This is how, when the Sixers got one, they had Moses Malone and Dr. J and Maurice Cheeks, right? That kind of team stays winning championships. When Steph, the Warriors were lucky to even have one. The only reason they had one was because Kyrie and Kevin Love got hurt. It was LeBron and Matthew Dellavedova against the Warriors. So the Warriors won in six games. Had LeBron had Kyrie and Kevin Love, they would have certainly won that series. It's pretty obvious. It wasn't until KD, and then they even won 73 games, and LeBron beat them. It wasn't until they got KD, two MVP players, not Steph, an MVP player, and some All-Stars, but two MVP players, that it's like, okay, they're unbeatable. So the Warriors get two more. We're up to 20. I mentioned the Sixers, 21. I mentioned Wilt and West, 22. Like, that's how you do it in the NBA. And that's what the Lakers have. They have LeBron James, the best player in the world, and Anthony Davis, a top five player. The Heat don't have a single MVP caliber player, not even one, including Jimmy Butler. But the Heat still have a chance, right? Because they do resemble the kind of team that upsets the apple cart every 10 years or so. Really tough team, mentally tough. They can shoot it. They can play defense. They're very well coached. They have veteran leadership. They have youth. They can get to the basket. They can shoot free throws. They have an interior presence. They do resemble. I would say those teams truly have to be extraordinary. Like, the Spurs that beat the Heat are considered one of the all-time machines. And they reminded, not that the style of play was exactly the same, but they reminded people of that 72-73 Knicks team. The way, and the 69-70 Knicks team, the way they shared the ball and all that stuff. The Detroit Pistons in 04, all-time great defensive team. Are the Heat that? Or do the Heat compare to that Knicks team, that Spurs team, or that Pistons team? Are they that special? Because that's what it takes to beat a team with the best player in the world, plus another top five player. That was Straight Talk Wireless. As soon as Raj stops playing with the color palette, everything for less, only at Walmart. Michael Thompson joins us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Father knows best. Mm-hmm. Okay, he's there. That's all. It's just some glass shattering and then the wrestling music. What's up, Michael?
You know, first, I got an issue with you as usual, Max.
Excellent. That's what we're hoping for.
I mean, this is starting to irritate me. Top five player. Why do you keep saying top five player when talking about Anthony Davis? He is a top two player, Max. Top two. Say it. Say it, Max. Stop.
Is he? Okay, let me ask you. Okay, by the way, you could argue Anthony Davis is top two. You can argue that. Is he better than Giannis?
Yes.
Is he better than Kawhi?
Okay, at least these two guys are tied at two with Kawhi. And the player after them would be the fourth best player. But, yes, AD is that great. You got to stop with this top five stuff.
Okay, but wait a minute. If KD was healthy, is he better than KD?
Well, that's the sit down. KD was the KD we saw in those finals. Then KD would be number two. I'm not afraid to say that. That's how great Kevin Durant is when he's healthy.
So I think it's fair to say if he's tied with Kawhi, that puts him top three. If KD was healthy, that puts him in the top four. So I think top five is fair. I mean, by the way, if Steph were healthy all season, is he better than Steph?
Yeah, because of the defensive impact that Anthony Davis has.
I agree.
Overlooking that part.
I agree, although I think it's easier to build a team around Steph than around AD. Like, when you look at AD, he's had some talent around him in New Orleans, and they were not a playoff powerhouse. Steph, when you put talent around him, you became a playoff powerhouse immediately, right? Your son, Klay Thompson, an all-star, plus Draymond Green, another all-star, but no other MVPs. And they're immediate, they live in the finals, right? Even before KD got there. So I think Steph and AD is an interesting point. Now, are you going to back off and admit top five is a fair way to categorize it, or do you want to stick to your guns?
I'm going to stick to my guns. We're talking about right now. Steph was hurt. KD was hurt, so they weren't around. Hopefully they'll be back to their usual self. But right now, as we speak today, he is top two, so you got to start saying that.
Okay. I'm going to say what I say. You say what you say. Michael Thompson. The great Michael Thompson, ladies and gentlemen. You can see at Champagne Nuts. Okay. How'd you come up with that Twitter handle?
Champagne and Nuts. Unnuts. It's an N in the middle there, like a apostrophe and Champagne and Nuts. Jeff Katz. You know Jeff Katz. He came up with that Twitter nickname for me because he asked me, we couldn't come up with a name, and he asked me, well, what's your favorite snack? And I said, well, when I'm watching boxing and watching Max, I like to munch on Champagne and Nuts.
Okay. Well, it's an interesting Twitter handle, that's for sure. But what do you think about my bigger point, Michael? And I say top five because I'm including teams that didn't have LeBron and AD. Like, almost all of NBA history, the finals are dominated, meaning won, by almost always there's one MVP-caliber player. Usually there's two. But when you have the best player in the world playing with another top five player, Kobe and Shaq, Bird and McHale, Kareem and Magic, Magic and Worthy, Jordan and Pippen, LeBron and Wade, LeBron now and AD, like Steph and KD, that team wins. Very rarely does a 72-73 Knicks team win, or the Spurs with when Duncan was already faded and Kawhi won MVP with Parker and Ginobili win, or an 0-4 Pistons team win. Very rare. And the Heat would have to do that sort of thing. Are they that kind of team?
Yeah, the Heat are, man. Heat are tough. They wouldn't be here unless they were legit. So you got to give them credit. You better not take these guys lightly, or else you're going to find yourself in a very long 6 or 7 game tough series. So the Heat are here because of a reason, because of their culture, because of how hard they work, the type of winners they have on that team, even though they only have one NBA champion in Iguodala. But Pat Riley put together and Eric Spoelstra put together a team full of competitors and guys who understand how to play the game the right way and who buy into supporting each other and play together. So, yeah, if the Lakers are on the top of their game, the Heat definitely could win this championship.
Now, I don't want to attribute this to the wrong person. I think it was Stephen A. Smith, but it may have been someone else. I think it was Stephen A. who said on the air the other day that Pat Riley was going to retire. But when LeBron left, he's like, no, I want to beat LeBron. And now his team is in the finals with a chance to beat LeBron. Pat Riley, Michael Thompson, at a certain point, it looked like Phil Jackson had passed him as the alpha of the NBA, right, among non-players. He was the Don, Phil Jackson. He won, you know, 11 championships as a coach, Bulls and Lakers. And he'd won as a player with the Knicks. Those are three biggest markets, more championships than anyone. But Pat Riley as a player in the 70s, as a coach in the 80s and 90s, as a team president and coach, and now as team president, in every decade wins championships. Talk to me about Pat Riley versus LeBron James here.
Well, you're overlooking Jerry West. I mean, look at his resume. Don't forget about him. But
sure,
as far as where Riley is concerned, oh, yeah, knowing the competitor that Pat Riley is, oh, yeah, this would take – he would get a lot of satisfaction winning this championship against LeBron, beating LeBron and the Lakers, his former team. So, yeah, knowing Riles, this would be – maybe this might be his sweetest championship yet, even though he says beating the Celtics, nothing can compare to that. But I think if he can win this championship and beat LeBron and the Lakers – I think this would rank right up there with his beating the Celtics in the final.
Michael, you were the number one overall draft pick. You went to Portland. You averaged 20-12, and then you get traded to the Lakers to back up Kareem, and you were couldn't be happier about it. You know, most people would think, wait a minute, I'm the man, the centerpiece of the offense. I'm the number one overall draft pick. I'm not backing someone up. But you get traded to the Lakers to be a backup, and you were – it was like one of the greatest days of your life, and you wind up winning two championships, right? So you have real experience playing for Pat Riley. What is that like?
I tell you, man, I played in the league for 8 years, and I played for a taskmaster in Jack Ramsey, a man who's very demanding. But when I joined the Lakers, it was a different level. Pat Riley's the kind of guy who is not going to suffer fools, meaning you got to be a man. You got to be responsible for your actions. You got to hold yourself accountable. You have to be ready. Basically, Max, you have to be a pro. You have to understand what it's like to be a professional. Keep your body in shape. Have the right attitude. Be all about the team. Pat Riley's not going to put up with anybody who comes in with a selfish attitude and who's not willing to work hard. If you're going to play for Pat Riley, you have to be a Magic Johnson, James Worthy, a Jimmy Butler, a Patrick Ewing type player. Especially if you're going to be the leader, you better be the kind of player that Jimmy Butler is. That's why and Pat Riley are the perfect match.
Now, I want to talk about that because I just mentioned when you have talent pitched at MVP level, you can win a championship. When you have two of those guys, it's usually a slam dunk, so to speak. But if you don't have any of those guys, it's virtually impossible. It almost never happens. It happens maybe once a decade in the history of basketball. The Heat would have to fall into that category. Now, Jimmy Butler is a great leader, as we've seen. And Tyler Hero is amazing for his age. And Duncan Robinson could shoot the lights out. And Bam Adebayo is, if he's not a superstar, he's the next thing to it already. Jay Crowder is like the perfect Swiss Army knife postmodern player, if you will. Goran Dragic is the guy who gets the least fanfare, but is, you know, compared to his actual value. They got a lot of guys like that. But Pat Riley, and I know it's Eric Spoelstra who's coach, but it's an easier story to tell with Pat Riley, I guess. Pat Riley, when he had Patrick Ewing as his best player, who was great Hall of Famer, my favorite player as a kid, as a Knicks fan, but he wasn't – he was quasi-MVP level. He was a grinder who made himself, in spite of his knees, into a great all-star. But he wasn't quite like Shaquille O'Neal or something like that. Same thing with Alonzo Mourning and Tim Hardaway, and Patrick Ewing didn't really have a crime partner. Alonzo Mourning did and Tim Hardaway, but the same sort of story. All-stars, but not MVPs. Pat Riley usually fields very tough teams to beat, but ultimately they are beaten. When he's had, you know, Kareem, Magic, LeBron, then he's impossible. He doesn't have those guys this time. It's Jimmy Butler in them. What does that mean?
Well, that means he's got a team that's going to come in and compete hard in these finals, and they're not going to be intimidated by the Lakers. But you're right, they are at a disadvantage because he has obviously a finals-quality team, but he doesn't have a LeBron or an Anthony Davis on that team. And that's a disadvantage for anyone who is coming out of the East, whether it was Boston or Philadelphia. None of those teams has an AD or LeBron. So as the Heat or any team out facing the Lakers has that disadvantage, the Nuggets had that disadvantage. That's why they're home right now watching. So that's no fault of Riley's or the Miami Heat. Not everybody can have an Anthony Davis and LeBron on the same team. That's why this Laker team is so special and unique.
Now, I want to talk to you no one says Angelino, someone who lives in Los Angeles, as someone who loves the Lakers, as someone who won two championships with the Lakers, as someone who wanted – their son to play for the Lakers. Maybe one day that'll happen. If the Lakers win the championship this year, they will have tied the Celtics at 17 chips. An unthinkable accomplishment when Dr. Jerry Buss bought the team and the Lakers had like six and the Celtics had more than twice, 13. What would it mean to you for the Lakers to finally catch the Celtics in championships?
Oh, it would mean everything. And I was expecting to pass the Celtics again next year if everybody can stay healthy. That's how this team is set up for the next several years as long as LeBron is here. But it's like what you say, Max. Even though the Celtics had an edge in championships, the Lakers were still the greatest franchise ever, despite being one or two championships shorter, because in the Dr. Buss era and the modern era, like you always say, before, you know, when the NBA really expanded here in this country and also worldwide, is when the Lakers dominated those decades. And that's what makes them the greatest sports franchise in history, along with the Yankees.
Yeah, I want to say something about that. Thanks a million, Michael Thompson. That's exactly right. It's not that you completely disregard old championships in like kind of the pre-modern era, but you do discount them a little bit, right? For example, the Yankees have won 27 championships, but a lot of them occurred before 1947, the color line, before 1961, expansion, before, you know, you can point to the date, before the wild card. But the Yankees have also been totally dominant in any era you want to look at, even like since 1961, they've won by far the most championships, right? So the Lakers and Celtics, it's interesting. Celtics are at 17, Lakers are at 16. But the vast majority of Celtics championships came before the modern era. In the modern era, the Celtics have 4. The Lakers have 10. So I think given, like, that's actual recency bias. Not even bias, it's just like weighted. You weight it differently. When you consider 10 in the modern era, and the fact that they're only one behind the Celtics, clearly they're by far the greatest franchise in the history of basketball. And if they catch the Celtics, there's no debate even. The Celtics wouldn't have a leg to stand on. Max Kellerman Show is brought to you by Shell V-Power Nitro Plus Premium Gasoline. Did the NFL make the right decision with the Titans Steelers game? There's 8 more best-of-3 wildcard games today, and 4 of them are on ESPN, the White Sox and A's. Then game 2 of the Yankees-Indians. Oh, what a shellacking the Yankees put on Shane Bieber yesterday. And then we cap the day with game 1 between the Brewers and Dodgers at 10 Eastern. Each game is also available streaming live on the ESPN app. The NFL and COVID next. The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, the ESPN app, and SiriusXM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Be a part of Max Kellerman Nation. I have a nation. On the Dr. Pepper call-in line, 888-SAY-ESPN. ESPN Nation is presented by Dr. Pepper, which is one of the all-time great soft drinks. It's official. College football's back, and so is your favorite Dr. Pepper-loving college football town, Fansville. Head to a store near you to treat your inner college football fan to an ice-cold 20-ounce Dr. Pepper today. Oh, Raj, I miss the days when I could just have regular soda. You know that?
Yeah, you don't want that anymore, man. Maybe just a little bit something, you know.
Oh, you could do the you could do the sugar-free kind, because they have pretty good artificial sweeteners now. But I got to tell you something. One of the saddest days in my life, I was already working at ESPN. I must have been 25 years old. And I was putting on a little weight. I used to have like six-pack without doing anything, right? Like a skinny kid. And I started noticing a little, you know, ring around the, you know, the love handles and gut there when I was, you know, 25, 26, whatever. And I remember thinking, all right, I was going to get some ice cream out of the freezer, some Häagen-Dazs. I love that.
Yeah.
Put it in my coffee. Put a little of that vanilla Häagen-Dazs in your coffee. Oh, and I realized, well, wait a minute. I should lay off this and like, you know, go do cardio for like a week. And then I started thinking to myself, I'm going to have to diet until, and I realized since my metabolism was slowing, until I die. I'm going to have to diet until I die. Like, at a certain age, you can't just eat food like a normal human. people over the age of 25 are barely human beings anymore. You know that? Only the young really have a right to be happy. But before you hit that phase where you just can't eat anything, life is so good. It's so good.
Now you find yourself looking on labels, seeing grams of sugar.
Oh, I'm counting grams of sugar.
And are you shocked at how many grams of sugar and things that you would just eat daily or drink daily? Juice is the worst.
Everything. Everything's got so much sugar. You know why? Because it tastes good. It's because for the vast majority of human history, the whole question was, how do you get enough calories to live to the next day, right? And now we've got it such that the calories are cheap, and we're storing fat left and right. Anyway, I'm very depressed about this because since COVID, I really haven't been hitting the cardio, and I put on a little bit. A little bit. I got to take it off. The NFL announced that the Steelers-Titans game in Nashville will not be played Sunday, citing the need for, quote, additional time for further daily COVID-19 testing. The league will announce shortly whether the game will be rescheduled for Monday or Tuesday. The Titans have had 4 players and 5 team personnel members test positive for the coronavirus since Tuesday. By the way, the Minnesota Vikings have confirmed no new positive tests for COVID-19 and will return to their team facility Thursday. Let me say this. The NFL is behaving properly here, I believe. The question as to whether we should even have football as a separate one. As a sports fan, I'm happy. As a responsible member of society, I guess I'm irresponsible. But I like the fact that we have football. I like to watch football, Raj. And it helps pay the bills, if you know what I mean. But, and also, like, who knows how long till there's a vaccination. We should figure out how to live some kind of new normal that we like, right? The best version of what the new normal can be absent a vaccination. And the antigen tests, which weren't available months ago, didn't exist months ago. The antigen test, which is a saliva test, where, you know, you spit and you find out in a couple minutes whether you're positive or negative. You don't get false positives, to my You don't get false negatives, to my understanding. In other words, if it says you don't have it, you don't have it. You might get a false positive, but that's a much better world to live in than the reverse, right? You don't want to sometimes get false negatives and never get a false positive. Like, who cares if someone has to miss a game or stay home from work or isolate a little or wait for another test before you realize, oh, wait, it wasn't, you're not, you really don't have it. We thought you did, you don't. Because that means, as long as there are no false negatives, that means we're safe. So it's really, that's great news about the way these antigen tests work. They're also much cheaper than the other kind of test, and you get the results much faster. So, for example, my daughter's in a basketball skills development program, Steady Buckets, in New York City. Shout out Coach Mackey. And they want to get back and have some kind of very limited practice with masks and all that. And I'm looking for antigen tests. I'm literally trying to find antigen tests because if you can get them and test everyone, the worst thing that could happen is one of the girls is positive. She doesn't really have it, but tough, she can't play today. And maybe she can go get the other test and then find out if she actually does have it. But at least we'll know that whoever is playing doesn't have it. The same thing applies to the NFL, right? So the fact that they're testing now and they have these results and we know some of these players and personnel have it, you go to the facility, you clean it all up, you isolate the players that have it, right? You isolate the virus, that way it's contact tracing. Who has it? Who else have they been in touch with? Let's test all of them. Whoever shows up positive, go isolate yourself, and that way you kill the virus. You stop its spread. You flatten and then ultimately hope to crush the curve. Because it's not just an NFL issue, it's a societal issue. You don't want a league becoming a vector for a disease where it now spreads to other places. So they're handling that properly. The question is, do you then play the game? As far as I can see, as long as everyone's getting tested and they don't have it and they're cleaning the facilities well, I don't see why you wouldn't play the game. Monday, reschedule to Monday, that's fine. Rescheduling to Tuesday is fine. Well, you're on a short week. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, it's 5 days. If you're playing on a Thursday, you go from Sunday to Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, it's only 4. In fact, I think you could push it to Wednesday. You could if you had to. You still got, that's the same short week that most teams have when they have a Thursday game, right? So you could push it to Wednesday. And here's the point. I wouldn't push it to Thursday, but you could push it to Wednesday. And here's the point. They're not planning that, saying Monday or Tuesday. The NBA basically had finished their season. They were so smart about this, they shut everything down, they reopened in a bubble, they tested everyone, they didn't let the players bring even family members. They said, tough, you want to do this or not, right? They played enough regular season games that all the team's local TV money kicked in. It fulfilled the contracts. They got all that local TV money. Then they had a tournament-style play-in games, which made it even more exciting, right? Invited additional teams to essentially make the playoffs, or at least the play-ins. Had a full playoff, had a full postseason. They had their cake and they ate it too. But largely that was possible because even in the early stages of the pandemic, when much less was known about it than today, and we still don't know a lot about it, we still don't know the long-term effects of people who have it. I've read accounts of people, and this is, I wouldn't say exactly anecdotal because it's happened enough, of people who are in their 30s or 40s. They have a kind of a normal case of the coronavirus. It seems like it's not life-threatening. It's not nice either. After a couple of weeks, they get better, and then they have glaucoma. They have these, like, and who knows what's going to happen in 10 or 20 years? We don't know, right? We don't know. So still, there's not enough, a lot known about it, but we know more than we used to. And even then, the NBA was able to pull it off largely because their whole season was almost over. They got a little, they were able to even be greedy and get the rest of the money from local TV because they played so much of their season. Baseball was really smart. Baseball's like 60 games. 60 games, that's it. Football's like, no, we want to play the whole thing. We want to play this entire season. Okay, they want to do it that way? Fine. Fans, you got a full season of football, maybe. With the advancing technology, the availability of tests and accessibility of tests, maybe they could pull it off. They're doing it so far. But you have to get your heads around this. Some teams may play fewer games than others. Some teams may play in front of fans, others not. Sometimes it'll get postponed. You have to play on a short week. Sometimes that affects things going forward. Tough. It's not going to be perfect. The perfect is the enemy of the good. You like football? Good. Don't think it's going to be perfect. It will not be. The NBA Finals are on ESPN Radio tonight. It's Game 1, Heat Lakers, right here on ESPN Radio and on TV, on ABC. Former multiple MVP. Multiple-time MVP. Is he playing the best football of his career? No Doubt is next. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Quoting, home insurance just got easier with Progressive's Home Quote Explorer. Quote and buy all online at progressive.com. No Doubt coming up. Oh, yeah, the Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, the ESPN app at SiriusXM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker. See, Raj? They want to know how many rhymes have I written and wrecked, but researchers never found all the pieces yet. Scientists want to solve the context. Philosophers are wondering what's next. This is the important part. Pieces they took to labs to observe them. They couldn't absorb them and didn't preserve them. My ideas are only for the audience ears. To my opponents, it might take years. Rod, you can study the Max Kellerman Show. You can try to take little pieces back to the lab and figure out how to do it.
Okay.
But this is only for the audience ears of the Max Kellerman Show, Rod. You see how that works?
I love that.
Appropriated Rakim, Eric B. and Rakim, to the theme of this show. See what I did?
That's why it's great you got a radio show again, man. You get to drop dimes That's like right. that on people. Go ahead.
That's
man.
Right. White appropriation of black culture. Look at that. Terrible. Well, unless I do it, then it's okay. The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. All guests join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Gonna get right down to it.
We got you covered.
Let me tell you what I think of me.
No Doubt.
All right, Max, I want you to listen, take a listen to friend of the show, Marcus Spears. Go ahead, Jake.
Lamar Jackson will not win these games if the Ravens don't develop him as a passer. Look, this is a good to great scenario we're talking about. If the Baltimore Ravens are going to win a Super Bowl and Lamar Jackson is going to continue to ascend, he's going to have to operate from the pocket. Lamar Jackson said it. I'm not playing Patrick Mahomes. I'm playing their defense. No, you're playing Patrick Mahomes because 9 times out of 10, he's going to take a lead and dictate what you have to do offensively to win the game.
Man,
I'm glad you put that sad Wu-Tang song behind. I love Wu-Tang. It's a great song, too. But it's the right theme. You feel bad for Lamar Jackson. What do you believe in, heaven or hell? Don't believe in heaven because right now he's living in hell. I did it again, Raj. I did it again.
Let's drop the mic for a second. Let's drop the mic for a second and listen, dang it.
Yes.
Reigning MVP Lamar Jackson still needs to develop.
No doubt. Look, Lamar Jackson is famously 21-1 against the rest of the NFL, non-Patrick Mahomes NFL, in the regular season. That's amazing. That's one way to look at it. With the money on the line, I know the money's always on the line. Stop it, everyone. There are higher leverage moments. When you play Patrick Mahomes, the best guy in the business, that's a higher leverage moment. When you're in the playoffs, that's a higher leverage moment. He's played Patrick Mahomes three times. He's been in the playoffs twice. He's 0-5. He's virtually unbeatable until it matters most. Clayton Kershaw was this way. Peyton Manning was this way. Peyton turned it around eventually. James Harden has been this way. Lamar does not want to be on that list. On the one hand, if you're on a list with Peyton Manning, Clayton Kershaw, and James Harden, you're doing something right. They all are amazing. But you don't want to be known for falling way off when it matters most. He must develop more than he already has as a pure passer. I agree with that.
Okay, fine. Speaking of MVPs, former MVP, and you teased it, Aaron Rodgers. He's playing the best football of his career, man.
Nah, son. He's playing as well as he's ever played. I agree with that. This is as good as you can be, basically. I think, let's put it this way. He's playing as well as he's ever played, and he's playing for a coach now. Like, it looked like the game had passed Mike McCarthy by. Doesn't seem like it's passed Matt LaFleur by. And so he's playing for a coach who got this team, along with Aaron Rodgers, to 13-3 when Rodgers looked a little bit like he was still getting used to what was going on, right? So if he can do this for a LaFleur team that plays as they did last year, they could win 14 games this year and the Super Bowl. It's possible.
Okay. All right. Real quick. Folks are right for calling the 1-800-SNITCH line on Raiders rookie Henry Ruggs. Get this, for leaving a $10 tip on a $600 bill.
No doubt.
No doubt.
You know, people are working for a living, and that industry relies on tips. They get underpaid by employers, and they've passed that cost along to you. Got a tip. That's terrible.